Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Jason Barsky Show.
I was in the process of trying to find just a different perspective on the tariffs and the trade war and what could happen. After talking to Joshua Phillip from the Epoch Times on Monday, and I just did a search, and this kind of popped up here. I want to welcome to the show. He's a guy. I want to make sure I get everything correct here. You are a professor of agricultural economics at Purdue University. That's welcome to the show. Is it doctor?
It is doctor, but it's Wally. That's
Wally. Now, we had emailed a little bit yesterday about this, and, you gave me a range of, if the second phase of these tariffs go into place of, like, you said, which would happen, we'd find out soon, but it wouldn't take effect, what, till June or July?
Right.
That the average American household could say, it could end up spending how much additional?
Most of the estimates, since we talked yesterday, there's been a whole flurry of new estimates, and most of them, if that new round comes into effect, are around $2,000 a household.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
Does that make, is that different for different parts of the country based off of the amount of money you make or,
Oh, sure. That's an average household. And of course, it would depend on how much you spend on, the things that are included in that next round, cell phones, TVs, kitchenware, coffee makers, hair dryers, luggage, you name backpacks. It's everything you buy, basically, is going to be affected by that second round if it goes into effect. And it's 25%. So if you pay $1,000 for something now, it'll be $1,250.
Unless the companies decide to eat some of those costs, which a buddy of mine, I talked about this a little yesterday. I can't talk about the company. Maybe off the air I could share with you what it is. But he said, they may just eat the cost on certain products to avoid having to raise prices and hurt their overall brand in the hopes that eventually things will settle down and prices could get dropped.
Two things there. One is the first round of tariffs applied mainly to what are called intermediate goods. So that's capital goods and computer boards and things like that that are just part of the total price. So, yeah, they particularly for all, and that was three quarters of the tariffs were on those kinds of goods the first round. So, yeah, it's pretty easy for them to absorb part of that for those intermediate goods. And some of them have done that. Some have, but if it's a final consumer good and you buy a washing machine for $1,000 and the tariff is 25%, it's much more likely that you're going to pass most of that on. Some of them, you're right, will choose to wait and see. Some will pass part of it on. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it goes on the consumer.
All right. So for anyone, I don't know if you were listening at all online. We're on radio.com. If you did, you heard. I was a little agitated before. And if you did, my apologies. I'm pretty easy to talk to for the most part. But I get my buttons pushed sometimes, and it's weird. I try to be – it's hard to let go like that, but it happened. This is 2 days in a row. It's not a good thing. People are skeptical. What is your background in this? Where do you – how dare you come up with these numbers, what's your background in this? Have you been looking into the economy? And
well, I'm an agricultural economist. We work on trade. Purdue is the host and headquarters for something called the Global Trade Analysis Project. We have a global database on all trade flows, 113 countries, 57 sectors, and we do all kinds of analysis of trade policies and the impacts of trade policies. We've done NAFTA versus UMCA. We've done Pacific Trade Agreement. We've done the China tariffs. So this is sort of part of our bread and butter.
This is it's rare, but there is some bipartisan discussion and, bipartisan discussion speaking out against these tariffs. Some people are just going along with it. Most people, for me, I think this could be good, but, you know, 5-10 years down the road, it might be something. But can we get, you know, the road there is going to be rough for a lot of us.
Well, it is. And the thing that I always keep coming back to is that the real issue between the U.S. and China is not trade per se. It's intellectual property rights. It is the way intellectual property rights are stolen in China, and the way U.S. companies are treated, forced to have joint partnerships, joint ventures, and then the partner ends up taking the IPR. Those are the real issues. The fact that we have a trade deficit with China doesn't hurt this country. I mean, it basically means that we're getting the goods into the country at a low cost, and consumers are better off. Almost any economist would tell you that tariffs, at the end of the day, hurt the economy. And we have a slug of them now. And if this next $325 billion comes on, that's a lot of goods.
That scares me. What are some things, like just a couple products, right, that we're going to definitely see price increases immediately that maybe aren't getting publicized right now?
Again, if this next round comes on, televisions.
Okay. What are the first ones, though, the first things we're going to see? You said it was...
Well, the first one is it's computers, it's furniture, it's lamps, some ag and food products. There are all kinds of things in the first one, too. But it's mainly goods that go into making those things.
Okay. I'm just looking at the clock here. Wait, are you able to hang on for a quick break?
Sure.
I'd love to come back into a second segment. I have all sorts of questions. My number one question is, when did soybeans rule the world? When did that happen? Because it seems like they are such a hot button issue all of a sudden. If you would have told me 10 years ago, soybeans are going to be a big deal, it sounds like something out of a comedy.
Well, it's a good issue, and I'll be here when you get back.
All right, I want to take a quick break, and then talking to Wally Tyner. He's a professor at Purdue University, agricultural economist. I didn't even know that was a thing, but you know your stuff. I mean, who knew? Who knew?
Now you know.
You probably get that a lot, right? Hang on one second. We're going to take a quick break. More with Professor Tyner next. It's WILK News Radio.
It's always free to email the Jason Barsky Show. Jason at WILKNewsRadio.com. It's the replies that'll cost you $2.
All right, talking to Professor Dr. Wally Tyner. Wally on the show from Purdue University. Thanks for hanging on. I had a question here from one of our listeners texted, and they said, is the trade balance with these tariffs, is the trade balance better for the United States or for China?
Well, we import more from China than we export to China. In fact, that's one reason China doesn't have much left to do in terms of retaliation, because we don't export that much more to them than they've already hit.
So if they don't have a lot of ways to retaliate, do you think the president's in a decent spot when it comes to negotiating? If they don't have much more to fight with?
Oh, they have other tools. They can devalue the yuan, which basically reduces the effects of the tariffs we put on. You know, if their currency is worth less, then they can get the stuff for cheaper. They also are, this is sort of the nuclear option, but they also are the world's largest holder of U.S. Treasury bills. And if they decide to start selling those bills, that means the price falls, our interest rates rise, big impacts. So they have other tools in their arsenal.
Are there any positives that you see out of this? The potentially raising these tariffs and this battle going back and forth. Are there any positives?
If we are able to solve the IPR, the intellectual property right problem, it's a pretty weird way to go about it. But if we're able to solve that, that is really important. That's been an issue for years. Yeah. And if we're able to solve that and eliminate that theft, then I think that's a positive. But tariffs are not the instrument to do that. There are other ways you can go about doing that. But you were asking about soybeans.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, when it comes to, I've noticed that recently. I've ignored it as long as I possibly can. When did soybeans become the big hot button thing?
Soybeans, 80% of a soybean is protein, and so it's an animal feed. 20% of its oil, it's in our cooking oil and the like, but 80% of its feed. And so for anybody that has a large animal population like China does, they need a lot of soybeans. They decided around 2011 that they didn't want to import much wheat, they didn't want to import much rice, they didn't want to import much corn, because those were fed directly to people. But they're willing to import all the soybeans that they needed. So they are now the world's largest importer of soybeans. And we export half of our soybeans. 63% of that, before all this started, went to China. So it's a big part. Soybean exports are a big part of our agricultural economy. And about two-thirds of that went to China.
Wow. And American farmers are taking a hit on this.
Yeah, they are. Our estimate is that the hit for American agriculture is about $2.6 billion a year. Now, Jason, the interesting thing is that the Chinese economy is taking a hit about the same amount, because they are now having to pay more for soybeans. The soybeans go throughout the economy to livestock producers, to all the consumers of oil. So in our estimate, this is a lose-lose. U.S. loses, China loses. Who wins? Brazil. Because Brazil now has taken a good part of our soybean market in China. They're selling their soybeans for a higher price because they don't pay the tariff, but they raise the price almost up to the tariff level. And so U.S. loses, China loses, Brazil wins.
You know, I'll be honest, you're the expert, I'm not. You know, if you're investing or you're setting up a 401k, they say don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, you don't want to put everything into one high-risk fund. In the long term, if we start spreading our soybeans around the world as opposed to saying half are going to China, problem solved, is it better for us if we have our soybeans going to different places?
Well, in fact, that's beginning to happen because Brazil can't supply both China and the rest of the world. So we're supplying more to Europe. We're supplying more to Asia. We're supplying more to other countries. We even exported soybeans to Argentina so that they could export their own soybeans to China at a higher price.
Oh, my goodness. It's confusing.
Yeah, that happened. It's called trade diversion, and that happens. But we still lose, by our estimate, 29% of the world market.
Wow. And I'm guessing if that hit is real, if it hits as hard as it, you know, if some people get hit harder than others, they decide, you know what, I'm out of this business. They can't go forward. Then we have less production, and that's going to cause a, you know, domino effect.
Well, and it works from the other side, too. If this continues, and that's a big if, hopefully it'll solve tomorrow, but if this continues, that gives Brazil and Argentina and our competitors time to add more ground and convert it to soybeans, increase their soybean production, and if we lose that and they start adding it to their system, it's gone forever.
Wow. God, we've touched on so many things here, and I'll be honest, not being an expert on the economy. I mean, I don't think I'm really an expert on much. I feel like my head is spinning here. We've covered so much. Are there any areas, is there like one area that you feel like, oh, we really need to discuss this before we go? Because I could keep you on for another segment, or I could just have you back down the road. Really interesting to talk
There's
to.
There's one other thing, Jason, that's really important that's not getting attention.
Okay.
And I'll try to do it quickly.
Well, I have about a minute before a break. Do you want to hang on and just do one more quick segment? Are you able to do that?
Yep.
All right, cool. Hang on a second. Well, yeah, I got about 90 seconds before we have to get to Bloomberg Market Minute, talking about the stocks and stuff, and that's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I have no idea what you're going to bring up. You say it's something important that's not getting enough coverage? I'm excited to find out what it is. hang on a second, okay?
All right.
You know, I plan on wrapping the segment there, but I want to make sure we're covering what he thinks is important so we can all kind of make our mind up here. That's Professor Wally Tyner from Purdue University, an agricultural economist. I was promoting that for this morning's show yesterday, and I caught myself one time saying, an agricultural economist. And I stopped, and I didn't even know what I said. I went back and listened to it, and I felt so foolish. Thank God I was in a room alone, and no one would know. If only I wasn't so honest and share everything. An agricultural economist. Boy, I'm a moron. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm very curious as to what else he has to say about this. If you have any questions, by the way, 570-883-0098. We'll read some of your questions and hear what he has to say. We'll do one more quick segment next. It's WILK News Radio.
Trade war fears
with China. I said, good, that's fine. Put on the tariffs.
WILK News Radio.
Ask and you shall receive. Here are some questions about the economy, the tariff war with Professor Wally Tyner from Purdue University. Is it a tariff war, first of all? Or are we on the way to it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. Before I get to the questions, actually, you said there was something very important you wanted to bring up that hasn't been discussed yet, and that's why we...
As you probably know, the U.S. and Mexico and Canada have negotiated a new NAFTA. It's called USMCA.
Right.
But it hasn't been approved by Congress, and the president has threatened to cancel the old NAFTA. Well, the old NAFTA, since 1995, we have increased our agricultural exports and our other exports to Canada, both Canada and Mexico. It's been a win-win-win for all three countries. If he were to cancel NAFTA, and if Congress, and who knows what Congress is going to do with anything these days, if they didn't pass USMCA, we go back to 1995. We go back to having high tariffs across the borders and significantly reduce our trade with Mexico and Canada, our best trading partners right now on many goods and services. I hope it would never happen. I hope the president would not cancel. I hope the Congress would approve. But it is a risk that we just need to be aware of.
Okay. When does that, is there a deadline for that?
He has to submit it to Congress, and then they have a certain number of days, several months, but to approve it after that.
Just making sure. I thought I missed a date in there.
No.
Here are the, you can answer as quickly or as much time as you want. Let's see. There's somebody said, I've actually been thinking about buying a TV, but dragging my feet on a 65-inch TV. Should I buy it now?
Well, it's not certain that the president's going to put on the tariff on these $325 million, because if he does, it would hurt trade significantly between the U.S. and China, but it would be the first time consumers actually see it everywhere they go.
Gotcha. Another text came in. They said there was an interesting article, and they wanted to hear your opinion on this regarding the fact they say that hemp can be used as a substitute crop for soybeans, and the hemp is really versatile. Is there anything in that that relevant to you? No.
No. Hemp is a fiber crop. It might be able to be used in some fraction like hay or something, but soybeans provide proteins, 44% protein. It's an excellent source of protein for cattle, pork, chickens, all of the animals that we consume.
What is the future? A caller had called in a few minutes ago. What is the future of dairy farming with these new tariffs?
Well, with the new USMCA, we actually get an increased quota for dairy. It's not a huge thing out of Canada. It's probably the most significant change between NAFTA and USMCA is we get more dairy into Canada.
Okay. And then, let's see, this is a two-parter, I believe, based off of the farmers struggling with the soybeans. Are there any other crops that they're struggling with? Or is it just soybeans the be-all, end-all that are taking the hit with the tariffs?
The other big one is sorghum. We export a lot of sorghum to China, and it got hit with the same tariff. Now, we don't produce that much sorghum. It's not a mammoth crop like soybeans, and it's more in areas like Texas and up the plains, but it was hit really hard, too.
Okay. The person said, the question was, how much money in subsidies are we going to have to give to farmers, or do you predict we'll have to give to farmers to help? Would that be a bailout? It probably would be a bailout, right?
It would be. We did that last year. We paid particularly soybean farmers a check based on their soybean production history. He said he's going to do something this year. The first thing he said he was going to do is he was going to buy these commodities and give them to food banks. Well, that doesn't work because soybeans, corn, and sorghum are fed in the U.S. are fed to animals, and food banks don't need animal feed. So supposedly he would change that and would do something like he did last year and just give a check to the farmers.
Gotcha. And would that still be necessary? I think the answer is yes, because you said it last year, even if this trade war wasn't there. So this isn't something new because of the trade war.
Well, the prices are substantially lower.
So it's going to be a bigger check.
The prices were above $10 before. They're around $8 now.
So it'd have to be a bigger check to help.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and again, where do you quickly stand on, you know, I mean, let's go 2 years and 5 years. If everything continues at this rate and the president puts a second, and I believe there'd be a third set of tariffs, wouldn't there down the road, or am I mistaken on that?
Well, the second set was last Friday, and then the third set is just $325 million.
Yeah. If this happens, what is our life? How's our life different in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years? And you got to be quick. And so I got about a minute left here with you.
Okay. Each household has monthly or annual expenses $2,000 higher. The rate of growth of GDP falls about 0.5%. And China sort of has adverse effects as well. It's lose-lose.
Okay. You don't sound very positive about this. But when it comes to intellectual properties and such, you said if that gets worked out as a side, you know, victory, that's beneficial for everybody.
That's beneficial, yeah.
Do you have like a website people could check out more of your work if they wanted to?
It's a website, but it's basically just papers and things. We also do policy briefs, and there are a bunch of those. If you go to Purdue Agricultural Economics or just Google my name, you'll find it.
Everything's listed under your birth name. It's Wallace?
Tyner. T-Y-N-E-R.
Yeah. And are you on social media at all, if anyone wanted to follow your stuff?
No, I'm old-fashioned.
Or, as I like to say, smart. Hey, great talking to you. It's interesting. Just a different perspective than we had earlier in the week. But I'll make sure I post this interview up on our website so you can share it around.
Thanks, Jason.
Wally, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay, okay.
The Jason Barsky Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.